Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, welcome back. She gave the world a comedy lace history lesson as the leading role, Erin Quinn in Derry Girls. Then she went off to join a Liverpool crime family and became a medieval servant on Netflix with amazing hair and an office yank in a DC Comics movie that was The Flash. And now she's in rehearsals for a new project, Three Sisters, which is coming to the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin in October. She's the OG in Colleen from Mondurra, Saoirse Monica Jackson. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Come here. Would you be familiar with Dublin, or is it a strange town for you to come and visit?
I've worked in Dublin before. I've filmed here before. So I really think, though, theatre gives you much more time during the day and stuff to explore it. But I love Dublin. I love having like a weekend break here. It's got an amazing atmosphere. And I'm so delighted to have my first time on stage in the Gaiety here.
People are very excited about it. And what would a weekend break have typically looked like for you coming to Dublin?
I've done the museums before with my friends, and then pubs, more pubs, Brian Thomas, more pubs.
Would you be looking for a pub with a carpet now and no telly, or would you be, I want the noisiest, loudest pub?
I'm into a wide variation of different pubs, and the sticky carpet pubs, and pubs that offer nice wine glasses as well. So, you know, I'm easily pleased.
Tell us what you're doing, because you're doing a turn. You're in theatre a good bit anyway, haven't you, through your whole career? But it's nice to have you in Dublin. What are you going to be doing?
I am part of the Three Sisters production that is going to be on in the Gaiety Theatre between the 8th and the 12th of October. It's a fantastic play, and a play that I've always been a fan of. And Ciara Elizabeth Smith has just done such a beautiful job of this adaptation. So, yeah, it's a real honour. It's my second time working on one of Ciara's plays. And she's really put Three Sisters in a contemporary space, and hopefully something that's more accessible for young people. And for me, I always felt like, you know, Three Sisters focuses a lot on the upper class, and I think Ciara and Mark are doing a fantastic job of sort of turning that on its head.
Oh, really?
And
it's an old Russian play, an old Chekhov play, dreary play, I think, the original one, isn't it? Where Three Sisters, what are they doing? They're literally waiting around for life to happen.
Yeah, they're waiting sort of for life to happen. But I think Ciara's adaptation really focuses on, you know, nostalgia and purpose, and I think she sort of honed in on the fact that these three sisters, you know, they have a lot of privilege and they're lost and don't feel like they have purpose, and sort of looking at the juxtaposition between the family and everybody around them.
Is it going to be set here? It's set in Ireland, is it? Do you have Irish accents?
Yeah, it is. We're sort of honouring the time, but looking at it through more of a contemporary lens. Obviously, all the actors are Irish, which is always great and lends itself well to storytelling.
Big stars in it as well. Do you know them? Do you know Megan and Alex from The Young Offenders?
I know Alex just through the years, through the buzz, as they say. And Terry Keeley's also in the production, and he's like a good friend of mine. So it's great.
You're very excited about it.
Yeah.
The three sisters are titillated, aren't they, by the sexy soldiers who come around. So that's where the men come in, I presume, in this particular one.
Yeah, I'd say they are. I'd say they are quite fleeting in anything really that they feel. So there's a lot of comedy as well that's found in that.
It's happening in October. So would you have just arrived now to start rehearsals? Have you been around Dublin for the last few days? Or
yeah, today will be my fourth day in rehearsal. So we're just at the start of the process, but it looks so exciting already. We have an amazing set designer, Molly O'Callaghan. So she's done a fantastic job, and we've been walked through that. So already at this stage, we all feel quite excited of what's ahead.
There's a lovely buzz in the Gaiety Theatre. It just feels such a historic place.
Mm-hmm.
And the lovely bars in it as well.
Yeah.
you won't get to enjoy those, though. You'll be out the other side of it.
Yeah.
But there's a kind of a sneaky route into Neary's as well, which is a very good carpet.
Oh, good top tip. Thank you for that, Oliver.
Come here. The Derry Girls changed the lives of so many people. We've actually been chatting to three. We had Siobhan McSweeney on Monday. Then we had Art Campion the other day. But you are the kind of OG Derry Girl. Do you remember your first day on set?
Yeah, I remember the first day we were all so nervous, but it felt like such a surreal experience. But yeah, it's crazy looking back on it. And I still just feel so delighted that I got to be part of it, and relieved. I can't imagine now not being.
Did the rest of the cast kind of come up to you as, well, you're from around here, you know what's what, where to go?
I think that everybody in the cast, you know, that weren't from Derry, done such a fantastic job with the accents. That they
did,
had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a hard amazing,
one. Yeah, an amazing job. Louisa and Nicola done fantastic jobs. So I think obviously it was helpful for them to have myself and Jamie Lee.
Absolutely.
To sort of tune in, yeah.
They just listened to the two of you.
Yeah.
And were you the best of mates before anyway? Or did you meet on?
We all met actually on set. I'd heard of Jamie Lee. I mean, everybody in Derry seems to be like two people removed from each other. So okay. I'd heard of Jamie Lee and I knew some of her. We had mutual friends, but we are definitely, we're best friends now, myself
best
and Jamie
friends.
Lee.
She was your bridesmaid, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Oh my God, and she's the crack as I've met her.
Yeah,
she's
she is.
Absolutely an
yeah.
explosive character.
Yeah, she is.
So I'd imagine the two of you getting together.
Yeah.
It's quite
it's
a tornado.
Very
of fun.
Boring. Yeah. We're very born.
What was your life like before Erin Quinn came into it?
I wasn't long graduated from drama school actually before Derry Girls happened, but I was doing what I think every actor does, you know. I was doing waitressing jobs and sales jobs and living in London and just bits and pieces here and there to keep me ticking over, but you know, any opportunity when you're a young actor and you're coming up, going into read-throughs or even getting the opportunity to audition, all feels like the right step and the right direction, really. Yeah.
Were you any good as a waitress?
I wouldn't say it was my strong point.
Did you hate the job?
I didn't hate it. You know, I love people. I'm definitely a people's person. So working with the rest of the bar staff and stuff and having the crack with them and having the crack with people that came into the restaurant. Is
it's the job that actors seem to yeah. gravitate towards, isn't it? Because there's a stage element to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Performing for grumpy people and trying to get the best out of them. There was no acting in the family, was there? There was no major interest in drama in terms of as a career.
No. But I would say all my family, you know, they're fantastic storytellers and they all mm-hmm. certainly love the crack. So I think that was sort of, it was always around, you know, that sort of element of performing, it around the kitchen table.
Your
but
dad
still performing.
he was an engineer.
Yeah.
But your mum had loads of different careers.
Yeah, I think they both did, you know, they're a great team together. My dad had an engineering company and my mum actually worked in my school as a counsellor. So, yeah.
While you were there?
Yeah, while I was there.
What was
which
that like?
Interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Did you would be mortified, I presume, to be caught chatting to her? She would.
No, not at all. I think like I had her tortured.
Oh, did
you? Know, I've constantly been knocking at her door, wanting to come in and sit with her, or you know, it was great to get a lift and not have to get the school bus and all those things. But yeah, I've always been. I've always been very fond of my mum. I've never been. I don't think I was ever one of those teenagers that didn't want to be caught dead with her.
That's interesting.
Like that. Yeah,
close relationship. And you were the only girl, I think, in the family.
Yeah,
two brothers.
Yeah,
and you were over back to because your mum's from Donegal.
Yeah,
and obviously the pull of Donegal is very strong, even if they're only over the way in Derry.
Yeah,
so you went over and back quite a bit.
Yeah, we went over and back. I think it's that classic thing in Ireland where people, you know, have holiday homes 20 minutes down the road. The English always find that crazy. So we sort of had that set up and my two brothers went to school in Moville, so we were definitely very embedded in the community down there, my mum being from Buncrana and stuff. So I definitely feel like I have both those, the wildness of the Donegal personality and the wildness of the Derry personality.
Very handy.
Yeah.
And the border doesn't exist for you because you're over and back at all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does the border exist to anybody?
No, but we move on. You're definitely from Derry City. Come here. What did Derry Girls mean? Because you're in the unique position of knowing yourself and Jamie Lee. What it actually meant to the people of Derry and what it means still to them?
I think it was just so important and it resonated so well with the people of Derry. And, you know, I think it was such a relief nearly and so celebrated because the people of Derry were depicted in such a beautiful way. I always feel like it's Lisa McGee's love letter to your family and to your hometown. And, you know, I think people from Derry are hilarious and Lisa just done such a fantastic job of encapsulating that. And I feel like it was a very fair and honest depiction of that time. And, you know, you really get to see the innocence and see things for what it really is when you look through the eyes of teenagers.
I think what was remarkable about the success is that the show didn't compromise to anyone outside to explain anything. It was just like, it's up to you to find out about Derry and what they're talking about, the background for everything.
Yeah.
And it was beloved all around the world, wasn't it? I mean, Martin Scorsese has talked about it. It's brought up in the British House of Parliament.
It's crazy.
What was the secret? Why do you think it went so international?
I think really it is down to Lisa's writing. And I think when you combine those two things, like such a prevalent moment in history when the city was going through such change, and you look at that through the eyes of teenagers, I think teenagers are naturally full of hope, and I think that combination together really made it for success. And I think when I look back on it now, it's crazy. It came out around the time that Brexit was such a strong talking point. And you'd be looking at the Good Friday Agreement when we were at a time when that was sort of up for grabs again. I think also amalgamated together.
It came at a really good time.
Yeah.
And were you worried at the end of it? Because obviously there's going to be a world of opportunities opening up given the strength of your performance, mm-hmm. and how well the whole thing was received. Were you worried about being typecast maybe as this glitchy schoolgirl from Derry?
It's crazy because I remember at the time, obviously I wasn't 16, you know, playing this 16-year-old mm-hmm. girl. So I was worried in the show that I wasn't going to pass as 16. So I never really thought, oh my God, I'm going to get typecast as a schoolgirl. And I never, you know, I always loved comedy. I never thought that that would be like my big break would end up in a comedy. So I was just so delighted to be in that space and wanted to do more comedy. So I don't think typecasting was really a massive concern. I just wanted, you know, I think every actor wants a wide range of storytelling and to be sort of creatively fulfilled playing different parts.
And you've blown the fears away, haven't you, in the role since?
Yeah.
How did you decide? Because you went for some pretty gritty, dark ones as well along the way.
Yeah, I think those are the sort of the parts that seem to be coming to me at the moment. And, you know, I think every actor has a desire to tell stories of, you know, to tell stories of the age that you're at as well. So I definitely think that there was a push for that. I didn't want to sort of miss that time of, you know, telling stories in my 20s or my 30s and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel very lucky and blessed the wide range that I've had in the last couple of years, which is great.
Especially playing a woman who marries into a mob family in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And again, one of the hardest accents to do.
Yeah.
But Liverpool was easy for you. Why?
I think that the Liverpool accent, you know, has so many similarities with my own accent.
Really?
It's sort of like my accent backwards. You know, we do the heavy C and QR, and they sort of do it on the end.
That's
with
right.
their K's and their C's. So I sort of worked it out that way backwards. I also live in the city, so I had great training that way. And
had you lived there long before the role came?
I was living there for about 2 years before
really?
The series came.
And had you come from London? Because we expect all of you.
Yeah.
Just wandering around London all the time.
Just wandering around London, hoping for a job.
So Liverpool, was there a particular reason why you were there? Was it love?
It was, yeah. My partner was living there when I met him, and we were looking at where we were going to sort of pitch up, and we decided Liverpool. I've always had like a love affair with the city. I went there a lot when I was at university. I had a lot of friends there, and I've got family there, and you know, it really feels like the 33rd county. We feel right at home.
Even
there.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, it's full of Irish and it's got a fantastic Irish community there and the Irish centre there, and I have loads of friends there. Not that I'm just constantly looking
Irish.
To be surrounded by
Irish
people,
friends,
but it does make me feel great.
They did a great job in Liverpool as well. I think they moved the docks entirely and just rebuilt the whole place.
Yeah, there's been a lot of investment into the city, and it's got a great flow to it. It really reminds me of Derry. It feels like a bigger
really?
Derry. Just yeah,
what
with
is
the
that
Mersey,
feeling?
Just with the Mersey running through it, and I would say the sort of social landscape of the people and all their sensibilities, you know, their big Andy family and crack and blow dries, and they're all things that I strongly relate to.
I love a blow dry. Is Derry a good place for blow dry as
Derry,
well?
Derry, I have to say, no shade on Liverpool, it's still number one.
Number, by the way, the show I'm talking about is This City Is Ours, and there's a season two, isn't there? And it's carrying on.
Yeah, I go straight into that. I fly from here and start production on that the day after I finish this play. So
really?
I'm so excited to get back into it. it was such a fantastic job, and full of Scousers, which obviously I'm a massive fan.
You get to go home at the end of the day. That's
yeah, it's great.
Thing.
I mean, that's such a luxury as an actor. And it's one of the great things about, you know, this job. You get to move so much. So, yeah.
I see what you're saying about the Liverpool and family thing, because your mammy follows you around, doesn't she?
Yeah. Or do I drag her around?
Yes, that's the question.
Yeah.
Your guidance counsellor is always around.
Yeah, I like her to be with me as much as possible.
I loved your appearance on Stephen Colbert, which is a show this programme particularly loves. What a moment that must be, a pinch me moment as well, Stephen Colbert, but of course
that's
it. And your mammy is in the audience. She makes quite an appearance. Let's have a listen.
Do you have friends or family here tonight?
I do, yeah. I've got my mum with me tonight.
Oh, wow.
My mum's in the audience.
Oh, wow. Where is she? Where's mum? Where are you, mum? There she is.
There is she?
Yeah. Hi, mum. Is that actually your mom or just some crazy woman waving back there?
It was just really good casting.
It was really good casting.
Yeah.
Very young looking woman, your mom, I must say.
Yeah.
Very cool outfit.
Yeah. She's a fantastic dresser. Yeah.
Does she? No, you didn't like it off the ground, that's for sure. Someone saying they were like the Spice Girls. This is the Derry Girls. Everyone identified with one of the Derry Girls or knew someone like them, says the text that come in. There's always love for the Derry Girls every time we mention it. You've a great hearty laugh. I'm looking forward to seeing Three Sisters, says Mary.
Thank you.
Speaking of Derry Girls, wouldn't Uncle Colm be great for president? Yeah, he would. It would take a while to get through a speech, though, wouldn't it? I must congratulate you on your wedding, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Because we saw lovely photographs in Vogue magazine. Mm-hmm. I thought that the days of those big magazine splashes were done, but fair play to you, you're a big enough star to get to it. It was a really rock and roll dress that you went for, and it was changed a couple of times during the day, I believe.
Yeah, I had one change, but I really wanted to sort of honour my mum's wedding dress. As I said, she's like one of my favourite style icons, and I always loved my mum's wedding dress. It was like crushed Irish silk, and it was made by a woman in Buncrana, and she had these fantastic brooches on it. So I sort of took that idea and made it my own. I worked with the designer at Annie's Ibiza, and we sort of compiled it together to that end result. So, yeah.
And the bridesmaids, which included Jamie Lee, in emerald.
Yeah.
All you needed now was someone in orange to walk by and you'd try colour wedding.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day. And, you know, I think anybody getting married, it's not really about anything else. You know, it doesn't really matter about what you're wearing. Of course, it's amazing to be in a dress that you love and you feel comfortable in, and you want to make your bridesmaids feel fantastic. It's really about the people in the room. And, you know, I think you sort of look at who's around you, and it's the crack that you're having that day. So, yeah, it was amazing. We had a ball.
And were there family heirlooms involved in the dress or weaved
in? Yeah, I had my mum's brooches from her wedding dress. I sort of took them off her dress, sadly, and I put them on mine. So I had them on my shoes and at the side. And, you know, I really wanted to feel like myself that day, and I wanted to sort of honour Irish traditions and Scottish traditions that are important to the two of us. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
Because your husband, he's a Scottish DJ.
Yeah.
And the wedding was in Kerry.
Yeah.
in the hotel made famous by Francis Brennan and John Brennan. So it was, there was a very, you really made it a kind of an Irish wedding, with some respect to the Scots.
Wouldn't be like me.
Proper, was a big long occasion.
We had a 3-day celebration. I just think when me and my mum were talking about it before, and I was talking to Hector's mum about it, you know, so much we get together for like funerals and stuff for these families events. So I thought when it's an event that's nice, let's just make the most out of it.
Beautiful.
And I have a habit of doing that in my life.
Yeah. Your husband's last name is Barber. Mm-hmm. Any relation to the wax jacket people?
No. Which is good, because I don't really like those jackets. They're not for me. I'm not a pigeon shooter.
Or a stalker.
Or a stalker, yeah, exactly.
Stalking the hills of Scotland. Well, there's that brand.
There's that rumour squashed.
Yeah. Sorry, I really should have gone to the bathroom, but just before talking to you. Come here, you're looking forward to this play.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It's a part that I've always wanted to play, and she's such a fantastic role. So, yeah, I feel very, very honoured, and I'm really, really excited about this director as well, Mark Aikenson. You know, he has such fantastic ideas of what he wants to do with this play, and protect what he wants to do with my character as well, Natasha. So yeah, it's going to be a really fun process, and I just love getting into a rehearsal space with other actors and filling that out together and seeing where we get to. So it's sort of that jittery stage now, but I just know it's going to be.
Do you actually get the jitters at this stage?
Yeah, I still get nervous every single time, and I think that's a good thing. It sort of propels you on, and I think, you know, sometimes nerves can make you realise all the other options, you know, because your mind's going 20 miles an hour.
You work so hard. It's a tough career, isn't it?
Thank you.
Did you get a chance, by the way, for a honeymoon?
We've not. No, not yet.
Really?
Yeah, we've not decided where we're going to go, but that'll happen.
You mean you haven't decided?
Yeah.
Where it's
something
happening.
To look forward to. Yeah.
It is, as is the play. Three Sisters at the Gaiety Theatre from the 8th of October to the 12th. It's part of the Dublin Theatre Festival. Tickets about 30 to 50 euro thereabouts. Yeah. Saoirse Monica Jackson, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.